If you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, this is the chapter where King David finally brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He's struggled trying to get the Ark there. He tried the wrong way one time by carrying it on an ox cart. And if you remember, the ox cart hit a bump, or the oxen stumbled, and the Ark of the Covenant started to fall off. And a guy named Uzzah reached out to steady the Ark, and if you remember the story, he died because nobody was supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. At that point, David said, okay, that's fine, we're not moving it anymore. Let's just put it right here. And they put it there, and the time that it was there, the man whose property it was on, he was just blessed, and God blessed him in such big ways. And eventually, David said to his people, he said, let's do this right. Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant back down. Let's bring it into Jerusalem where it belongs. He sets up a tent for it. It's not a temple like he wanted to have. Remember, David wanted to build a temple, but God didn't allow him to. Eventually, his son Solomon ended up building the temple. David pitches a tent or a tabernacle, and brings the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle, and that's where 1 Chronicles chapter 16 picks up. And then in verse number 4, we have what we call a psalm of thanksgiving. So I want to read chapter 16. We'll start in verse number 1. Our text verse is going to be verse number 8, but there's a lot of verses I want you to get from here. And I want to give you three ways to serve God this week, and that's going to be by giving thanks. We'll talk about those three very specific things we can do this week. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. They just had a huge feast, all at the king's expense. They had this great get-together because it was a day of celebration. The Ark of the Covenant has finally been returned. And verse 4 of the Psalm of Thanksgiving begins as David, you see these details. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him Zechariah and Jael and Shemiramoth and Jehiel and Mattathiah and Eliab and Benaiah and Obed-Edom and Jael with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaniah also and Jaziel the priest with trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. This was a big deal. They're thanking God and they're praising God. Look at verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And here it is. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And he goes on to talking about praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. Oh, I wish we could have this attitude. And whenever we stop and we think there's a new name written down in glory, if we could just stop and realize the greatness of what that means. Verse number 8, it's our verse for tonight. There's three points in this verse. But there's a challenge here that if you will listen, this will help you in such a big way. Look at verse number 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. I want to break that verse down into three parts. The first part is just simply this. Give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, there is so much to thank God for. I wrote down a list as I was studying. I put a list together. I'm going to share some of those things with you tonight. But I want you to think what you can give thanks for. If nothing else, Charlie Brown brought Snoopy his dinner on Thanksgiving Day. But it was just his usual dog food. Snoopy looked at his bowl and he said, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world today is eating turkey with all the trimmings and all I get is dog food." Because I'm a dog, all I get is dog food. He stared at his food for a while and he said, I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey. Listen, there's always something to be thankful for. Let me remind you about the first Thanksgiving. Sometimes during our Thanksgiving service, we'll spend some time and read some proclamations or something like that. But let me just remind you of that first Thanksgiving. I saw a picture on Facebook this week, and maybe some of you saw it. There was actually two pictures. There was a picture of all the families that came over, the pilgrims that came over on the Mayflower. And there was a picture, it was kind of just it wasn't a photograph, okay? I didn't have those. But it was just like a generic picture of a man holding a pitchfork or a shovel and his wife and kids next to him. And these family groups were in this picture, just black silhouettes on top of a colored background. And for every person that came over, there was a figure there. For every family that came over, there was a figure of a family there. And if it was a family of four, there's four little people on this picture. Family of five, there's five little people on this picture, you understand. So there's two pictures. One of them was all the people that came over on the Mayflower. And the picture underneath it was the same picture, but there was some of the figures had been faded out. In fact, about half of the figures had been faded out. In one family, there would maybe be the mom faded out. In another family, the kids faded out. Some entire families were faded out. And as I read the caption underneath it, it said, this represents all the people that came, the pilgrims that came on the Mayflower. The bottom picture represents all the pilgrims that lived to see 1 year in the new country without dying. Over half of the pilgrims that came looking for freedom, looking for religious freedom, that came to the new world, died, most of them through that first winter. During the fall of 1620, 102 people spent 2 months in a section of the Mayflower that was normally used for carrying wine. I want to remind you, that, first of all, to give thanks unto the Lord. The ceiling was only 5.5 feet tall. Can you imagine being under the deck? 5.5 feet tall, would it be about this tall? For 2 months, you can't stand up. You're not allowed up on the deck because of the terrible storms that are going on. You can't stand up straight. There's no light coming in. And it's in a cellar that's usually used for transporting wine. The wine that had spilled on the floor, however, had soaked the beams. And it had acted as a disinfectant to prevent the spread of disease. That would most often, as people cross in these long, long voyages, so many of the people that cross would die of disease before they would ever get to their destination. But because of the pilgrims, so many of them were forced to stay in this cellar underneath the deck that had been soaked by wine that acted as an antiseptic, very few of them became sick. During one terrible storm, the main beam of the mast cracked. That would have ended the journey for most ships, but one of the pilgrims had brought along a large iron screw. Why would you bring a large iron screw if you were trying to leave Holland or England and then trying to come across to start? Well, the large iron screw was for a printing press, which was most likely brought over to print Bibles and other books like that. The screw was used to repair the beam, and it saved the ship and everybody that was on board. Along this journey, not only was there the sickness to deal with and the storms to deal with, the winds blew them off course, and at another time, some evil men bribed the boat's crew to take them to the wrong place. They were supposed to go one place, but they were bribed, and they ended up in totally different place where they were planning to go, but God allowed them to land in a place where there were no Indians to attack them and where the forests had already been cleared for a village. The pilgrims barely survived their first winter. Only four families escaped without burying at least one family member. Can you just try to fathom that? Out of every family that came, only four survived intact through that first winter. In the spring of 1621, God sent an Indian that spoke English to the pilgrims. Can you imagine the surprise as they met an Indian that actually spoke English to them. You know his name? His name was Squanto. He taught them how to plant corn, how to set up a peace treaty. He helped set up a peace treaty between the pilgrims and the Indians that were there. They were called Indians back then. That's just what I'm going to call them during this, so please don't get upset at that. I know Native Americans is what we call them now, indigenous peoples. I don't know all the different words. But just go with me on this, because this is what they were called at the time. All right, one of the pilgrim leaders said this: "God be praised. We had a good increase of corn, and by the goodness of God, we are far from want." Even in that situation, even so many people not surviving that first winter, he praised God for it. The grateful pilgrims declared a 3-day feast that same fall to thank God and celebrate with their Indian friends. Only 50 pilgrims lived to celebrate that first Thanksgiving. 102 had started the journey, only 50 survived. In 1623, that's the next year, they experienced a long drought. If it didn't rain, many of them would die. So Governor Bradford called the pilgrims to a time of prayer and fasting to seek God's direct intervention. The Indians who were watching were amazed when clouds suddenly appeared in the sky and a gentle, steady rain began to fall. And one of the Indians said this: "Now I see that the Englishman's God is a good God, for he hath heard you and sent you rain. Surely your God is a good God." The pilgrims began the annual tradition of prayer and fasting in the spring, followed by prayer and thanksgiving in the fall. This may be a story that we're not really familiar with, but I read that just to tell you, listen, we have so much to be thankful for. So many times we'll preach a message like this before Thanksgiving, and then by now we've moved on to Christmas. I know that the stores have already moved on to Christmas, and our minds are already on Christmas. We decorated for Christmas, but one more time, I want to preach a message and challenge you to be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. Let me just share some things, and these are really not in any kind of order, just came to my mind. We have so much to be thankful for. We just life. Life. Just that in itself. Just to be thankful for life. Health. To be thankful for food. I know a lot of times you are more thankful whenever you think about somebody that doesn't have something. When you think about somebody that doesn't have food or doesn't have health, you think, God, I have so much to be thankful for, because I could be in that situation where I don't have food, I don't have good health, or I don't have life. I hope we don't have to be in that situation to find out how thankful we were in the past, or unthankful we were, or how thankful we should have been. A place to live, whether it's a house or an apartment, a place to live. Clothes that we can wear, a car that we could get places in, or some type of transportation. Just think about this: family. To have family is such a blessing. So many people have family. To have friends, to have a true friend, the kind of friend that'll tell you if you have something on your face, right? The true kind of a friend. To be able to have any kind of an education. If you think back not too long ago in our country, education went up to about the 8th grade, and kids would have to stop going to school so they can go out and help their parents work in fields or work in factories. Just to be, think about this, have an education, to be able to learn, to have a job. You know, it's such a big deal to have a job. If you've not had a job, you realize how hard it is to get a job. And I've seen this so many times. Whenever somebody's, especially young people, they're trying to get a job, and they'll go and they'll fill out the application and basically beg the person, please give me the job, if I could only get this job. And then within a month, criticize their employer because their employer won't let them off for a day off that they want. And listen, let's be thankful for the jobs that we have, the jobs that God has provided for us. Our church, what a privilege, what an honor, an amazing thing to be able to be part of a church, to have teachers that we could listen to and learn from. If you are a teacher, to be able to have students, to have somebody that you can teach, whether it's in a school setting, if you're a Sunday school teacher, to be able to teach somebody, what a blessing that is. We have to thank God for that. And classrooms to teach them in. What a big deal to be able to thank God for classrooms. There's a church in California, and Pastor Bruce Goddard, he taught at our marriage retreat last year. And as they grew, they met in a tent for so many years. And they would set up the tent, and the wind would blow down the tent. And actually, they had, I think, three tents over the years because they just kept just getting ripped and just tore up. They didn't have any Sunday school classrooms, but somebody had given them some buses that didn't run, and they were parked on their property. So they made Sunday school classes out of the buses. Some of them, they would take the seats out, and they'd put chairs in. And in between the buses, they'd put tarps over them. And in between the buses, they would have Sunday school classrooms. So in the buses, between the buses, what a something big to be thankful for that we have classrooms. We have a bus to be able to thank God for that, to bring kids to church. And even if they frustrate you, and even if they cause trouble in the church, listen, to be able to bring kids to church, what a blessing we can thank God for. To have a Bible. Aren't you thankful to be able to have a Bible? I know that we have a Bible. Most of us have several Bibles, and we have a Bible for this place and a Bible for this place. I remember when I was a kid in school, I had a Bible for school because I went to Christian school, and I had a Bible for home because I was home, and then we had a family Bible. But just think, there's so many people that don't have a Bible. And it's not just the fact that it's a Bible, it's the fact that it is the Word of God. Think about this for just a minute. We have the words of God. We need to thank God for that. Well, there's so much to be thankful for. I want to challenge you to be thankful tonight. The verse that we read is, as we began in Chronicles, give thanks unto the Lord. I want to thank God for these things. I want to challenge you to thank God for these things. How about memory? Just to have a memory. That's not something I'd have normally thought about, but I correspond with some people, and they're helping parents and some folks have lost so much of their memory, and to be able to have them. I remember Pastor John Bishop, he dealt with a sickness, I believe it was some sort of a meningitis, and he lost all of his memory as an adult man. He'd been a pastor for years. He lost his memory. But to be able to have a memory, to be able to have the promises of God. Think about the promises that God has given us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The promises of God. So many of them. The calling of God. Just to stop and thank God. God, thank you for your calling. Thank you for what you've called me to do. God's called me to be a preacher. God's called different people to do different things. But the calling of God. How about the power of God? Think about this. We don't have to live this life in our own power. We get to live this life, as we've been teaching in Sunday school, through the power of the Spirit of God. And His love can shine through us, and His joy can come through us. The power of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Just some things that maybe we're not thankful for like we ought to be thankful for. Think about this. The God that died on the cross and paid the price for your sins is also the God that moved inside of you to live in you when you got saved. Thank God for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for Jesus dying on the cross. Thank God for love and peace and joy. Thank God for talents. Some of us have different talents than others, but we all have talents. Can you thank God for the talent that He has given you? I don't know what everybody's talents are. I imagine if I was to stop and we were just in a room, just one-on-one, we could probably talk about everybody's talents because some of them are pretty obvious, but you may have some talents that nobody else knows about. Would you thank God for those talents and those abilities? Thank God for a husband. Thank God for a wife. Thank God for children and for grandchildren. Grandchildren, those children that you get to send back with their parents whenever you're done with them. Thank God for heaven. As I was just going through, just thinking, I was thanking God for a heater. In the summer, I'd thank God for an air conditioner. Back in the old days, they didn't have that. I remember seeing pictures of a huge revival services, thousands and thousands of people packed into an auditorium in places like Tucson and Fort Worth. And just thinking, those people had to be dying in there. All those people packed in. Thank God for air conditioner in the summer and a heater in the winter. To be able to heat the house, to be able to heat the church. Thank God for a limited government, but for a government. For a police. for firefighters, for our military. There's so much to thank God for our president. And as I say that, thank God that we have a president. Think about the alternative of that. It could be a king. It could be a dictator. Thank God that we have a president. Thank God for a Congress. We may not agree with everything the Congress does. Thank God for judges. This executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch of our government. Thank God that we live in a country that has that instead of a king or dictator. There's so much to be thankful for. And I probably didn't even scratch the surface of what we could be thankful for. And I probably didn't say all the things that you're thankful for. But I just want to challenge you this evening. Give thanks unto the Lord. Then the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord. In Chronicles there, we see this. The 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Call upon the name of the Lord. A man had a habit of grumbling at the food that his wife placed in front of him at family meals. Then he would pray and ask a blessing. One day, after this usual combination of complaining about the food and then praying for God to bless the food, his little girl asked him this, "Daddy, does God hear us when we pray?" And he said, "Of course. He hears us every time we pray." She stopped and thought about it for a minute, and she asked, "Does He hear everything we say the rest of the time?" And he said, "Yes, dear, every word." And he was encouraged that he had inspired his daughter to be curious about spiritual matters. Then humility kicked in whenever she asked, "Then which of those two does God believe? Is it the time when we're praying or is it the other times?" Let me challenge you about calling upon the name of the Lord. I want to challenge you to pray. I want to challenge you to spend time with God. Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation. I want you to listen to this. "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven." This is Abraham Lincoln. It wasn't on the internet, right? It was just Abraham Lincoln before the internet. He said this, "We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." Simple. Here's the simple point. We need to pray. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. We need to pray. We need to pray for our country, for our leaders from the city level to the state level to the national level. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our leaders. God can even use unsaved people to accomplish His will. So whenever there's an unsaved person in office, don't say, "I'm not going to pray for that person. I'll wait till the person that I agree with gets into office." No, let's pray for all of them. Let's pray for our leaders. God can use unsaved people to accomplish His will. Let's pray for them. Let me give you an example of that. There was a very mean old man in the Old Testament. I'm assuming he was an old man because he's in the Old Testament. But his name was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, oh, a wicked man. God used Nebuchadnezzar to punish the sinful people. And I think as you read through the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar got saved. I can't prove that to you, but just from the way he was talking when he saw the four men in the fiery furnace, the fourth is like the Son of God. And some of the different things that he said, the proclamations that he made after a while. But God can even use somebody like that to accomplish His will. Pray for our leaders. God used a man named Caiaphas. Caiaphas, where have you heard that name before? Well, Caiaphas was the high priest whenever Jesus was crucified. Caiaphas prophesied that one man should die for the people. He didn't know he was talking about Jesus. And then God used this leader, this religious leader, to make sure that Jesus was crucified and paid the price for our sins. How about Pharaoh's daughter? Pharaoh's daughter, I don't know what kind of leadership position that she had, but rescued Moses from the river. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for those who are in authority. We need to pray for our friends and neighbors. We need to pray. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. One of the greatest, I call it a sin, one of the greatest sins of Christian people has got to be this. We don't pray. We talk about praying. We teach about praying. We read about praying. I love reading encouraging books about how God has answered people's prayers, but we just don't pray. Now, I know we pray, but we don't pray like we ought to pray. Let me challenge you to pray. Call upon His name. Let's pray for our friends and our neighbors. Many of them are not saved. We mentioned that this morning. There is a real place called hell, and it really is a place of torment. We need to pray for our friends and neighbors. We need to pray for our church family. The devil is going to work hard to destroy our people. He's going to work. He's going to work overtime. And he never stops working. He's going to try to hurt people. He's going to try to destroy marriages. He's going to try to destroy families. He's going to just try to destroy teenagers and try to destroy kids. The devil is at work. Let's pray for our church family. Let's lift each other up in prayer as we call upon the name of the Lord. We need to pray for our children. Our children are our future. And they're continually being attacked by the world, by their own sinful flesh, which you and I understand, we have that, and the devil. On three fronts, our children are being attacked. Let's pray for our children. Pray for them on a regular basis. Call upon the name of the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. What am I going to pray about? If you were to be challenged to pray, could you spend some time in prayer? And if I was to challenge you, take an hour and pray. Most of us would say, what would I pray about for an entire hour? But I'm telling you, when you start praying for your kids and you start praying for your family, you start praying for your neighbors, you start praying for your leaders, you start praying for your church family, an hour is not enough time to call upon His name. We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our husbands and pray for our wives. The pressures of this world, they're too great for our marriages to succeed without God's help. Pray for your husband, ladies. Pray for your wife, men. We've got to pray for them. We need to call upon His name. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. And then the Bible says, make known His deeds among the people. Tuesday was an exciting time. I enjoy the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I enjoy when people come to church and they bring a praise to church. They bring a thanksgiving to church. They bring a testimony to church. When God blesses you, bring it to church. Make known His deeds among the people. You know, bringing something to church is not always the best thing to do, but most of the time. So one year, the Butterball Turkey Company set up a telephone hotline to answer consumer questions about preparing turkeys. So a lady called. Actually, I heard on the radio just, I think it was Monday, they had a Butterball representative on the radio. And that Butterball representative was answering all these kind of questions like, can you cook a turkey upside down? Did you know we always cook a turkey upside down? But can you turn it over the other way? Well, they said no. But basically the same type of an idea. Oh, you could, but it's just not going to turn out the same, all right? They set up this hotline. This woman calls in to inquire. She asks about cooking a turkey that's been in the bottom of her freezer for 23 years. 23 years! The Butterball representative told her the turkey would probably be safe to eat if the freezer had been kept below zero for the entire 23 years. But the Butterball representative warned her that even if the turkey was safe to eat, the flavor would probably have deteriorated to such a degree that she would not recommend eating it. The lady hung up the phone and said, that's what I thought. Told her husband, honey, we'll give the turkey to the church. Bring it to church. All right? Now, there's some things that I want to encourage you to bring to church. Don't bring your old turkey to church. Give it to your neighbor. There's some things that, listen, God has done some things in your life. God has done some great things in your life. Would you bring it to church? Share God's blessings with other Christians to encourage them. Share God's blessings in your Sunday school class. Go to the 9:30 hour and during prayer request time or sometime, raise your hand. Can I share a blessing and share a blessing that God has brought into your life? You know, and encourages other people when they hear what God has done for you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but some of us came to church this morning and we could use some encouragement. Just getting to church sometimes is hard. Getting through the week sometimes is hard. And if we could just get to church and hear an encouragement, now put yourself on the other side of that. You might be the one that can be an encourager. If you share something that God has done in your life this week, when God blesses you, bring it to church. Make known His deeds among the people. Share God's blessing in your discipleship group. Some of you, you're getting a chance to disciple with somebody. Share God's blessing of God. We had a blessing. We were praying and just praying throughout this week. We were trying to help Josh raise money for a senior trip. And the school's plan to do this is about $750 for the senior trip this year. This is just this weekend, so it's fresh on my mind. It's about $750 that needs to be raised, and that's a lot of money to raise. So the school's solution was, here, you go sell candy. All we had to do was sell 24 boxes of candy. There's only 60 candy bars in each box, and you only have to sell 24 of them to pay for the senior trip. So we were praying, and we made it a matter of prayer with our family. God, would you please? I know it sounds kind of silly to pray about something like chocolate, but we prayed about it. And what I've learned is God answers prayers, even those things that we think are silly, small prayers. We prayed about that. We went out yesterday, and we sold all that we needed to sell. It was just an amazing thing. And afterwards, we came back, and it was an encouraging night for our family. It was an exciting thing to be able to get back together and say, God answered a prayer of our family, to be able to encourage each other, share God's blessings in your discipleship group. Maybe there's somebody that you get a chance to meet with once a week and share a blessing with them. I mean, something simple like that. Share a blessing and make known His deeds. This is what God did. Maybe you share God's blessings during prayer request time, maybe on a Wednesday night or in Sunday school class. Share God's blessings by telling people in your community how to be saved. This is huge, and we're almost done, but this is huge. The Bible says, make His deeds known among the people. The greatest deed that God ever did for any of us was dying on the cross to pay for our sins. We need to share that. We need to share His deeds among the people. So here's the question. Why are we ashamed to tell people about that? The greatest act God ever did for any one of us was dying on the cross to pay for our sins. Why are we ashamed about that? Why don't we tell people about that? I think the devil's working. Really, I think he gets in our mind and convinces us, no, you're going to mess it up, or no, it's embarrassing, or whatever reason, and it makes us scared or makes us nervous or whatever it is. But listen, it's the greatest deed God ever did. Let's share it with somebody. Why are we ashamed to tell people about that? Why don't we set a time aside regularly to tell people about the greatest deed of our great God? The greatest thing He's ever done in this was to die on the cross. That's the greatest thing He ever did for me. To die on the cross, pay the price for my sin. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make His deeds known among the people. I like sharing praises in church. I like telling people about what God did. But did you realize that if you were to share God's greatest deed, that gift of salvation with somebody else outside of church, not only would it encourage them, but it will change their entire eternity. Somebody could be saved because you or I would make known His deeds among the people. 1 Chronicles 16:8, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Thank God for what He's done in your life. Pray for God to continue to work in your life. And then tell people what God has done in your life. Let me say that again. Thank God for what He's done in your life. Pray for God, call upon His name, pray for God to continue to work in your life, and tell people what God has done in your life. Listen, we could do that this week. Three ways to serve God this week. Not only is it just Thanksgiving week, and we're finishing up Thanksgiving week, heading on into Christmas, and we say we're thankful, but listen, there's three things you can actually do. Three things to do. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Father, I pray that You would use this message tonight to help us to do Your will. Lord, we want to give You thanks. I pray that You'd help us to be people who give You thanks. And Lord, I pray that You'd accept our praise and accept our thanks. And we mean it, and we're so thankful and grateful for all You've done for us. Lord, help us to call upon Your name. What are we missing out on because we don't pray? What blessings are we missing out? What changes in lives are we missing out on because we don't pray? Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us, remind us to call upon your name. And the Lord, I pray that you'd help us to make known your deeds among the people. Help us to be an encouragement to others as we share your blessings. I pray that you would help us to tell somebody how to be saved. The greatest deed you ever did, to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sins. And Lord, so few people will ever tell somebody about that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to make known your deeds among the people.